It is a privilege to join you for worship. It is also a privilege to swap pulpits with your pastor, and I'm returning the favor that he gave to Embassy Church almost exactly a year ago, January of 2025. And it was, in fact, the Psalms that Daniel brought to us, so I bring Psalm 145 to you. Here we are in the middle of January, and typically this is not called the most wonderful time of year. The holidays are now fully over, and many decorations have probably already come down from your homes. And what you have to look forward to for the next several weeks are short days, gray skies, and long stretches of cold weather. Unless the Bears win, there's not much to look forward to next week. For many people, these weeks in the Midwest, here in Illinois, are some of the saddest, darkest, and most difficult days of the year. But can we simply chalk all of this up to seasonal weather changes, or is there something more going on with us? In a recent book called The Weariness of the Self, the author interviews hundreds of people with symptoms and diagnoses of depression. He then published his findings when he noticed that there was a significant pattern in people who would be from the North American and European Western world. The defining feature was not sadness in the people that he interviewed. It was what he called a suffocating sense of inadequacy. Here's one of the key insights from his book. The depressed individual is unable to measure up, and they feel tired of having to become him or herself. Tired of having to become somebody. That's a phrase that should stop us in our tracks, because that's exactly what the world and our current culture demands. Think for a moment. How many times were you told from your childhood, you're special? You are enough. You're unique. Whether it's Christians or non-Christians, this message, it's everywhere. It saturates the world with meaningless affirmations. It's on t-shirts and coffee mugs and Instagram graphics and greeting cards. I had the privilege of taking my daughters out to a Christmas concert in December. And right in the middle of that concert was a well-meaning Christian message of the hope of Christmas and Christianity. And it did not pass over my head that one of the main things this artist was trying to say is, you, friend, all of you in this room, you are enough. Literally, those are the words he said. As my friend Matt McCullough eloquently argues in his book, Remembering Heaven, these words are actually not as comforting as they seem. They're actually more of a burden. If you are enough, if you're the unique special snowflake, well, then you better figure it out real quick what makes you special and what makes you unique from everyone else. You better find your niche, discover this special combination of traits and personality qualities to prove yourself in a marketplace of identity where everybody else is doing the exact same thing. Friend, are you starting to see how this well-meaning but empty phrase provides no reassurance at all? In fact, it provides one of the massive burdens the younger generation of kids and teenagers feel, the feeling of needing to perform every day. So here's the image I want to give you before we read Psalm 145. Imagine you're going out to a lunch or dinner with a good friend. They picked the place, they set the whole thing up, and you sit down and you look at the menu. It's real nice. It's a real nice place. Everything's top dollar. You look at the menu, and as you sit across the table, your friend is raving about how this most expensive item, let's call it the Wagyu steak, is just to die for. They're talking it up. They're telling you how worth it actually is. You know your checking account, your wallet. You hesitate. The money's tight. but for some reason you got the impression either leading up to this little outing or in the conversation as you were picking out your meals that, you know, my friend's picking up the check anyway, so let's do it. You order the steak, and the meal is over, and the server asks, one check or two, and your friend quickly smiles and says, two, please. All of a sudden, no matter how good that meal tasted, your stomach doesn't feel so good. The check comes, and you have to pay the bill. This is, I think, an analogy of somebody sitting across the table and saying, you are enough. What does that cost them to tell you that you're special? What are they going to do to help you in life? Friend, this brings us to the tension of Psalm 145, because at first glance, this psalm and this sermon might sound like the guest preacher who you don't really know sitting in front of you telling you the most expensive item on the menu. And I'm wondering how many of you might feel a little weary or inadequate or exhausted. And all this sermon will sound like is another demand, another standard you can't keep, another bill you cannot pay. I'm going to suggest from the outset, Psalm 145 is not just adding another burden. I believe it will address our deepest burdens. It is a call to worship, but it is not some sentimental slogan or impossible demand. It, at its core, is about the goodness and grace of our God, and it provides grace for all of you today. And so what if the complexity of seasonal affective disorder, SAD for short, and all of its various facets, maybe not immediately solved, or maybe it will, but the basic ABCs of Psalm 145, not about proving that you're enough, but about meeting with the God who is enough. If you would, please stand with me for the public reading of Scripture, if you are able. And let's begin our time in God's Word, reading starting with verse 1. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You may take your seats. The grass will wither, The flowers will fade, but the word of our Lord and his praises will last forever and ever. Amen. The ABCs of Psalm 145 offer adequate worship for a room full of inadequate worshipers. The ABCs of Psalm 145. This psalm displays the greatness and goodness of our God. It is the final psalm of David in all of the psalms. It begins the grand fireworks of praise here in Psalm 145 and continues with the hallelujahs from 146 to 150. The sky has already been lit with the glories of God, but now every person on the earth, every voice, every flesh and bones is to turn their lives and their voices and their souls into a chorus of praise. Psalm 145 is the last psalm of David. It's the last acrostic psalm, meaning from Aleph to Tov, each line of this 21-lined psalm of 21 verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's an A to Z kind of psalm. From beginning to end, building upon this alphabet of adoration, a vocabulary that's big enough for the infinite and glorious greatness of God, it teaches us how to praise with every letter of our lives. And in a beginning, basic, simple summary, we begin with letter A. Psalm 145 summons all today. All flesh is the very last line. Therefore, the ABCs of Psalm 145 is to include you in this call to worship God, to consider his greatness and praise him. It's a universal psalm, even though it begins of David and singular first person, I will extol you, my God and my King. Don't miss the way the psalm concludes. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. But it's not just the first and last lines and the contrast between King David as a singular person and the collective plural us as humans. The most repeated word in Psalm 145 is, can you guess it? All. 21 verses, 17 times. The word in Hebrew is kol, and it could sometimes be translated as whole as in holistic, or every as in every moment of the day. But here in our first letter of the alphabet, A for all of us, we need to notice that King David is joining in the choir. And he is not just a part of the choir. He would, I think, be the choir director for the nation of Israel. He says, follow my example. And therefore, he wants all of his descendants, as verse 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another. All of David's family is part of Psalm 145. Look at verse 12. To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds. Well, that's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Are you a child, and here's the word, of a human? Are you born from another human? Well, I think that's all of us in this room. If you're a human, that means you are born of a human, a child of a man. Therefore, your purpose is to speak of the glory of this kingdom and God's greatness. So all saints, verse 10 says, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful ones. These are people who are covenantly loyal to Yahweh, the Lord God who revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who in Exodus 33 and 34 showed his back parts to Moses in the cleft of the rock. All who are faithful are called saints, and all of them live under his rule and are called to praise. And some of you might feel like, I'm no saint. I'm a sinner. I'm exactly what you're talking about, Pastor Phil. I'm fallen. I'm bowed down. I feel sad. I'm exhausted. Guess what? Psalm 145, it includes specifically you. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling. He raises up you as you are bowed down. Are you feeling needy or fearful? He provides for everyone who has food in their due season. And he is near if you would call on him in truth, fulfilling the desires of anyone who would put their hope, their trust, and their ultimate allegiance and fear in this God. He hears your cry. He saves you, verse 19 says. So I wonder if you're here today and thinking, I don't know, Psalm 145 is not for me. Then friend, I don't think you're reading it. It doesn't take a whole lot of education to just read simply in the English translation that this psalm is a summons for you. It's the way the psalms end, actually. Look at the very end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're alive today, if you're breathing, you're probably alive if you're breathing. And if you have breath, then it's because the God who gives breath to Adam in the garden is the same God who's sustaining you every single breath that you breathe today. And you should use your breath to join in the song of praise. If all means all in Psalm 145, then there's a good reason I'm here today as your guest preacher. Did you hear what Pastor Daniel said? We met at a missions conference. Why? Because your pastor and your church began this worship service talking and praying about reaching the gospel, reaching people with the gospel to the nations. If Psalm 145 means all, then praying for, partnering with, giving, and spending our lives, all of our lives, so that all people on the earth can be called and hear the mission call, then it would make sense then, wouldn't it, to partner and get to know more than just our own little church. But see, the expansive mission of God is for, in fact, all people. Some of you might be here today and you know, I'm not even a Christian. This is definitely not for me. It is especially for you here today. Whether you're a child that's grown up in a Christian home and mom and dad are making you come to church here today, it's good for them to want to pass down this call from Psalm 145 from generation to generation and bring you to church. So whether you're a skeptic that's for some reason or another made your way on this cold, dreary Sunday of January, I would like to propose to you that the biggest obstacle for you is not the problem of evil and why bad things exist in this world. According to Psalm 145, the biggest problem for each of us, if we don't trust in, believe in, and praise this God, is why is there any goodness at all? Friend, if you sincerely are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not repented of sin and put your faith in him, I know we've probably never met, but this is a sincere question as there is. How do you account for all of the good things in your life? Do you have an answer at all? The Bible's answer is that every person that eats their lunch today is receiving a gracious gift of God. That's right here in our passage. The eyes of all have to look to the God who created everything to eat your lunch today. If you have friends or family, if the Bears do pull off another miracle, like where does any of good things that we can receive come from? And the bigger problem, if we're not putting our hope and trust in God, is not just that we can't account for it as if it's some philosophical problem that we need to uncover. It's how do you have hope if there is no God that tomorrow is going to be any better? The problem of evil is certainly a big problem, but the problem of God's goodness is a bigger problem if you don't know that the one who rules and governs everything and his kingdom will last forever and ever promises for us a future, a life that will last beyond the grave. So friend, I hope it's clear in our first point, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, old or young, male or female. You might be an infant in the womb, and yes, even you in the womb, you were created for a purpose of worship. Teenagers and parents, newlyweds and widows, every size and shape, whether you're tall like Lincoln, short, thin, thick, whether you run for miles and miles, or you find yourself in a hospital bed today. Every skin color, every complexion of light and dark, whether you're healthy and strong or hurting and weak, able-bodied or disabled, this psalm is for you today, all of us. Every neurotypical or neurodivergent mind, those who are sharp and tracking with every single word that I say, or you are having the hardest time paying attention, cloudy and confused. This psalm is for every generation, those who have come before us and have now passed on, those who are living and sitting next to us, those who are yet unborn and every child hidden and growing, Asian, Black, Hispanic, White, Indigenous, Middle Eastern, Pacific Islander, and every mixture and shade in between. This psalm, this call, it's not an invitation alone. It's a command. It's a summons. The King on high is telling you, praise the greatness of our God. You could be American or Canadian, Mexican or Brazilian, British, German, Ukrainian, Russian, Kenyan, Ethiopian, Indian, or Pakistani. You could be from China or Japan, Filipino or Indonesian. Every tribe should know the name of our God and call upon him and praise his greatness. It doesn't matter what social status you think you have or you really do have. Perhaps you're a king or a queen, a president or a prime minister, a governor, a mayor, a soldier, or a lowly servant, a migrant, a beggar, a janitor. It doesn't matter what is in your bank account. Psalm 145 is asking for all of us in this room to give all that we have to all that God is and has revealed himself to be. The wealthiest investor and banker and homeowner, or the homeless and the woman who only has those two copper coins. Every education level, the astrophysicist and the child who's literally learning their ABCs this week. All of us need to hear that there is a God who loves, creates, and calls you by name. Come, worship, adore, and bow down. If you're raised in a home that's solidly Christian, maybe you grew up Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox or Jewish, Muslim or Hindu, all Buddhists, agnostics, and atheists, even if you're still searching and skeptical or hardened in unbelief. Are you all starting to see what I'm seeing? Psalm 145 is for you. All levels of spiritual maturity. Some of you are saints. You radiate just holiness. And some of you are sinners and you reek of rebellion. Some of you are faithful at discipling and some of you are wandering now in prodigal like rebellion. Some of us are walking in victory and some of us are crushed by addictions and lusts and despair. It doesn't matter if you're extroverted or introverted, the thinker and the feeler, the planner, the spontaneous. Some of you are good talkers. Most preachers are talkers. Some of you are great listeners. Whether you're confident or anxious, joyful or grieving today, all temperaments, all types, all stories, all narratives, they will at one day bow the knee and give praise to this God. And it's good and fitting for me to stand before you and say every voice, every tongue, every accent, every dialect, all flesh of Psalm 145 is you, my friend. So come. Come hear the call and know that you're not being left out, and then receive this call as adequate, an adequate starting place for you as an inadequate worshiper to worship this God. And consider how radically different it is from you, be you, and you're enough. The lie of the modern culture is you need to find what makes you special and unique. Psalm 145 levels the playing field, doesn't it? If there is the God that exists in the scriptures, then all of us pale in comparison to this greatness. There's relief to be found in knowing, actually, your primary calling in life is the exact same as every single one of us in this room. There's relief to know that your primary purpose is to worship this God. And any special callings that you have, which you undoubtedly do have, they are subservient to the grand calling of whatever I eat or drink or whatever I do, I give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So friend, if you're struggling, wondering what the next 5-10 years look like, or how you can be that special snowflake contributing and making a difference in this world, start first with this. You are made in the image of a great and glorious God, and use whatever gifts, whatever instruments, whatever talents, whoever you are, for God's glory and praise. This all is good news for those that feel like, I'm not enough. I'm not measuring up. He is enough. A means all. All of us blessing all of him. Your second point is that the ABCs of Psalm 145 are adequate because of how great our God is. So let's bless all of him. Not part of him, not some of him, all of God. All of us in this room should aim to give glory that God is due. All of it. Look at verse 3 with me and notice the puzzle that's before us. There is a tension that our psalm creates that needs resolved. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. How can you and I bless all of him if we don't even know all of him? That's the tension and the puzzle. I was recently reading a book and the author explained it this way. You and I have a greater chance of holding all the stars in the palm of our hand and measuring all the mountains on a scale and gathering all the oceans in a thimble and balancing all the world's skyscrapers on a needle than we do finding out all of God's perfections. His perfections are higher than heaven, deeper than hell, longer than earth, broader than the sea. Heaven is high, but it's limited. Hell is deep, but it's restricted. The earth is long, but it is contained, and the sea is broad, but it is confined. There is one and one being alone who is unlimited, unrestricted, uncontained, and unconfined, and it is our boundless God. This boundless God knows every star by name. Just look over at Psalm 147, verse 4. Right in your Bibles, just turn and glance, and you'll see. He tells about the number of the stars, and he calls them by name. All of the humans on the planet still don't know how many stars there are. Last I checked, no amount of AI computing is going to be able to compute the infinite complexity of how many stars there are. And our God has two amazing wonders. He knows that number, and he knows the name of each star. And here, on a Sunday in January, do you feel inadequate to the task? You should bless all of him. All of him? We don't even know how many stars there are. How are you going to bless all of him and his infinite, eternal greatness? He is, as our text says, unsearchable. Well, drop your eyes down to verse 18. Our psalm does not just pose a problem. It gives you the answer right on the surface. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Psalm 145 presents us with simple ABCs. Every single one of us, we're made with the purpose of worshiping our Creator God. And that worship should not be partial, it should be full. We should bless all of him and his holy name. But how can we, with his infinite eternal greatness? If you call upon him, what does verse 18 say? In truth. To bless his holy name is to honor for all that his name represents. And Psalm 145 is giving you a comprehensive survey summary, an adequate representation of who God is, because the answer to our puzzle and problem is not that you will ever become God and know all that God is. But through his word, through the truth of the Bible, God has fully communicated everything you need to know adequately. Everything for life and godliness, to equip you to worship and bow down and worship him. So, yes, you cannot ever fully comprehend all of God's infinite greatness. But you can truly know him, even if you don't fully know him. And I think it would be helpful for you and I to just walk through and observe the various character attributes to truly, even if not fully, truly know what God is like. In fact, I'd put it this way. Psalm 145 is so comprehensive, so beautiful, so complex that you and I could spend ages, decades, plumbing just this one psalm's depths. For consider the first two verses. We're told to praise him because of his kingly authority, extolling him as our God and our King. He reigns not just over Israel, but every nation as King of kings and Lord of lords. As we saw in verse 3, we should worship and praise this God because his name represents his greatness and it's unsearchable. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6. In the way one generation shall commend your works to another, and on the glorious splendor of his majesty and on his wondrous works, we're called to meditate. Day and night, day after day, his splendor, his majesty, his beauty, his holiness, the radiance of his presence. Verse 6 calls us to fear him for his awesome deeds. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and men shall speak of the might of his awesome deeds. Hey friend, when was the last time you had those moments where you were like in utter speechless, jaw-dropped, oh, wow. And was it God? Was it the might and work that you saw revealed through Scripture or through the Spirit or through the work of God through his church? Verse 7 calls us to his goodness and righteousness, pouring forth the fame of his goodness, singing like we did already about God's righteousness, and do this out loud as we gather for worship. Verses 8 and 9 are a callback from when Moses had the back of God revealed to him, and he is revealed as gracious and merciful and patient and loving and loyal. Verses 10, 11, and 12 tell us of God's utter glory and power and kingdom, his dominion and rule. Verse 13 is about God's faithfulness. Verse 14, his kindness and compassion to raise you up when you feel low and down and discouraged. I love verses 15 and 16 because as we were reading them in my home for family worship, I have a five-year-old, five kids, oldest is 18 in college, the youngest is 5, and little Lucy, as we got to this line, she said, "Dad, I like the part where it says he cares for the chickens." And I thought, well, yeah, I guess that's right, Lucy. The eyes of everyone look to you, and not just humans. Look at verse 16. You satisfy the desire of every living being, every living creature. So I said, you're right, Lucy. Even the chickens look to God's care and love. His care for creation is unmatched. There is no God like our God who season after season provides faithfully for your needs. And the more that you know him, the more that you praise him, the more I believe that you can make it through another January in 2026. His righteousness, his nearness in verse 17 and 18, if you would turn from sin and call upon him and know that he's near, he condescends, not in a I'm better than you condescension, but in a I will come low and be with you. So call upon him in his infinite greatness and in his intimate nearness. How good is it that our God guides, protects, and don't pick your favorite parts of the Bible and leave others out. I love that the opening song that we sang of Psalm 145 didn't leave out the part where God judges the wicked. Our God is righteous and just and holy. And verse 20 says it quite explicitly. All of the wicked will be judged and destroyed. All. And this is why verse 21 concludes the psalm the way it does. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. All that the Lord embodies, everything that represents his name, all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Infinitely lovely, infinitely beautiful, deserving of praise from every single one of us in this room. Have you noticed that beauty just pulls you in like a tractor beam, like a magnet? It's like the light in the summer when outside you see the moths and the bugs. They just come and they're compelled, they're drawn. That's what Psalm 145 is. That's what the church is. Here's what this God is like, and you just lift him up and you're just drawn to the goodness and beauty of his light. Parents, as we think through raising up the next generation, I want to give you a very practical homework assignment. It's one that I personally did myself. It's one that I gave to my own church. And I gave about a 2-month homework assignment completion date. So yes, there is homework and there's a due date. So 2 months from now, let's say the end of February, the end of March, I'd love it if Pastor Daniel would get an email from one of you saying that you did the homework from Pastor Phil, and here's the results of our work, and here's the assignment. As I was prepping for this sermon in my own church, one of the commentators said, wouldn't it be awesome if some English speakers took Psalm 145 and they made their own alphabetic acrostic? You know, start with the letter A, and then go to B, C, D, and then just spend time slowing down and meditating and putting your gaze upon the greatness of God. He's like, that would be a great idea. And as soon as I read that line, I said, what am I doing? It's time for me to put my head and nose in the Bible, and it's time to come up with an alphabetic acrostic inspired by Psalm 145. And don't you think there'd be 1,000 things that you could do, but very few of them would be better than this? I think it took me about an hour. Here's what I came up with. I'm going to share it with you. It encouraged me so, so much. And I'm only offering this to you if you like joy, if you like your soul to be nourished and satisfied. If you're not into that sort of thing, then, you know, just watch football this year. Psalm 145, an acrostic using the English alphabet. Ascend his name higher. Bless his name every day, forever and ever. Confess the Lord's confounding greatness. Declare his mighty deeds from generation to generation. Explore and express his majesty. Forget not his fearsome deeds and gush forth about his great goodness. Be a herald of his righteousness with loud singing. Sing of the I am, the one who is slow to anger, gracious, merciful, and abounding with loyal love. Justice and goodness and mercy covers everything that he has made. Keep on praising him as long as he keeps on keeping his promises. And then let your lips speak his power. Make known his mighty deeds to our children, and never, ever will his kingdom rule end. Only the Lord's words and works are worthy of your trust. Now prop yourself up on the sustaining, providing grace that he gives. And then quickly look and quietly wait upon the Lord and his timing. Then receive with all the daily bread that he's provided. Satisfy the desires with gladful, joyful thanks. And truly, the righteous in every way, truly, he is kind in every work. Utter your call and cry to the Lord in truth. Verify his promises by fearing him, and you will be fulfilled. Weep, cry, he will save you. Call upon him. And X is a hard one. So I just went with a small e and then said, expect his protection. If you love the Lord, he will protect you and yield to his warnings. He will destroy the wicked, but zealously bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. The ABCs of worship, all of us, blessing all of him, not some, all of him, for all time. These lessons are adequate for all of you in this room, no matter how inadequate you feel. But I do want to acknowledge that this is a high calling. Even if some of you are feeling as strong as you've ever felt, as much pep in your step and as spiritually mature and as hungry for the Bible, all of us blessing all of him at all time, let's be honest. Even with God's word, we belittle him all the time. We give part-time worship. We only like some parts of God and not others. And as we look out over all of creation, there will be more worship for the National Football League than there will be on Sunday mornings for the Lord Jesus. Parts of creation that like parts of God with part-time worship. So how will this psalm ever be a reality? And the answer is, of course, your third and final lesson. Always and only through Jesus Christ. All of us blessing all of him through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, every day, every hour, every moment, when the sun rises and when the sun sets, when it's summer and it feels warm, and when it's bitter cold in these winter days, when you gather with God's people and when you feel all alone, and you might be all alone, when the Lord gives richly or when the Lord, blessed be his name, takes away. All the time, forever and ever, we cannot jump over that bar. It is way too high. But there is one who sat across the table from us and didn't tell us, hey, why don't you order that $200 steak? We have one who sits across from us and he pays the bill in full. We have one who is the fulfillment and the prediction and prescription of all of us, blessing all of him for all time. It's only through singing Psalm 145, through faith in Jesus Christ, can any of you live up to this call. It's not just possible, it's not just probable, it is certain. The way the last line ends, let all flesh bless his holy name, is a future tense prediction. It's painting a picture for all of us that this is, in fact, ultimate reality. There will be humans from all over the earth. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we know this especially because of our Old Testament scripture reading. That if God would be so gracious and loving and slow to anger and merciful with Israel in the golden calf incident, how much more mercy is there in Christ than sin in us? No matter how inadequate you feel, his grace goes deeper, his love is wider, and he comes down in his infinite lowliness and takes on the form of a human. This great and infinite God became limited in man. He became finite and died on a cross so that he would forever pay the bill. And you know that this isn't just some cliche, some pipe dream. The resurrection from the dead confirmed, his ascension to heaven put right before God at his right hand is eternal worship of a human. Do you all understand that right now we have Psalm 145 in its fullness because we have Christ in all of human fullness worshiping as the greater David? And he therefore, as the King of Kings, offers himself as the full sacrificial lamb and priest. And he, like David, is the best choir director that has ever called for a choir of praise and worship. And so the singular I of David, from the lips of Jesus, from heaven, calling all of us, will lead to eternal, endless praise. Would you join him now, yet again, for the 100th time, or maybe for some of you, for the very first, all of us. We need to get on with God's program, baptizing ourselves fully and immersing wholeheartedly in Christ's finished work on the cross. Jesus paid it all so that you and I, every single one of you, no matter who you are today, can know that verse 18 is true. The Lord is near to all who would call upon him. So call upon him in truth embodied, sacrificed on a cross, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. Would you join me in prayer now? Our gracious God, our heavenly Father, we do now come to you only through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would come down and draw us in to the eternal choir of worship and praise. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us all of your ways. Teach us that no matter how inadequate we feel, your word is sufficient, your Son is enough, and your love will carry us through. Give us confidence in all that you are for all time. In Jesus' name we pray.